What is up, Clipper Nation? It is I, Positive Chuck Mockler. William, the Opinion Updike, is out of the office today. You're just getting dual custody is what you're getting this week from both of us. Happy to be back. I was just in the frozen tundra of Montana doing my best to survive, but I am here. Thank you so much for tuning in. Of course, this is Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, coming at you guys Monday through Friday, every single day, sometimes on Saturdays. Today, we got a pretty big show for you. I'm going to be doing a preview of tonight's game against the Suns that is in Los Angeles, thankfully, after that brutal road trip. Going to be getting into what could have been in the Arrow universe on What Could Have Been Wednesdays, our weekly segment about, you know, things could have gone differently. We pontificate about them. We got a couple things today that should be interesting. And at the end, just some general Clips talk. It's been about a week since the trade deadline, just kind of, you know, gauging how we're feeling, talking about maybe some re-signing of some veterans. But yeah, all of that coming up and more right now. So we take on the Phoenix Suns at the Staples Center tonight. We're very excited for this one. We both have press passes for the first one, to this game. We're really excited about that. We're going to be updating with interview stuff, pre and post game on the Locked On Clips Twitter. So stay glued to that. During the game, we'll have updates, but might not be as much live tweeting as we usually do. Anyway, we're super psyched for that. Be on the lookout for that content. A little background for tonight's game. These Suns, I didn't realize this, these Suns have lost 14 games in a row. I was looking at the little basketball reference graph. It has a red and green graph for when teams win and lose. It's a lot of red on there right now. I couldn't believe it. I knew they were bad, but I don't think 14 in a row was where they were at. Injury-wise, for us, Wilson Chandler and Luke Mbamute is out, of course. And for the Suns, there will be no DeAnthony Melton, which is pretty big for us. He's a guy who can provide some spark off the bench. He's a guy who I'm weirdly high on. I think mostly because he's a young guy on a bad team who gets a decent amount of usage off the bench. But nevertheless, fairly, you know, bonus for us that he's not playing. The Luke Mbamute thing, this has got to be the most, I don't know if frustrating is even the right word because he hasn't even made it on the court yet, but are we ever going to see Luke Mbamute play this year? I have no idea. We hope Wilson Chandler can get healthier soon so we can see some of his new legs out there. The Suns last played on the 10th, so this will be a well-rested young team, which is kind of difficult for us. We've been off since the 11th, which is nice, but we just had that brutal road trip. Part of me thinks this could be a trap game. I don't know. You know, in the best case scenario for the Suns, I think this is maybe a trap game. We got some new young legs, you know, but they've just had more time off than us. We're coming off a pretty tough road trip. We did go 3-3, which was nice, but, you know, road travel's brutal. The Suns only have 5 wins since December 19th, but 3 of those came against teams with better records than ours. Shout out to William the Opinion Updike for that phantom note, as he is hanging out at home, probably. So that's a little troubling. The Clippers are definitely a team who, you know, guys kind of decide to show out against, which is a little frustrating. We've seen this happen before with the Hawks. We barely got by them thanks to a giant Mike Scott performance. So that will be interesting to see if they're a little more fired up to kind of ruin our homecoming tonight. Another note in here, sorry, TJ Warren is also out. So we're going to see Kelly Oubre starting in the forward position next to Bridges. It feels like a game we should dominate. Oubre is a good player. I've been high on him since he's been to the Suns. He looks kind of rejuvenated. Probably all that dry air over there he can get used to. But this just, it feels like a game I really want to see us get some good momentum going into our next 2 games, which I'll talk about later. This just feels like a game I'd like to see kind of a, you know, foot on the throat, never take it off. Just a demolition, a friendly demolition, if you will. I don't completely hate the Suns, so I don't want to see it get too out of hand. But just seeing us roll over a team with these new guys would be really refreshing to see. Let's get into what we need to do to win. We got to crash the boards. So I was looking at some stats, and somehow, I have no idea how, the Suns have DeAndre Ayton and yet rank 29th in the league in rebounds per game. I know it's not all one guy, but DeAndre Ayton's putting up some pretty beastly rebounding numbers. It just seems like no one else really cares to get the boards. Zubac should be, you know, feeling like he wants to have a bounce back game after he played poorly against the Timberwolves. He had 3 points in that game. So hopefully we can kind of mitigate Ayton's presence when the starters are out there with Zoo. It's nice to have a legit 7-footer I'm going to talk more about their matchup later. But if Zubac can kind of, you know, bother Ayton on the boards and we can get some, you know, Patrick Beverley has been on this kind of odd streak of putting up good amount of boards. Gallo's a guy who obviously can bang down low. So if our starters can really get these Sun starters uncomfortable trying to grab boards, it'll open it up for when Trez comes in on the second unit and he can just feast, hopefully, and get a bunch of work down low. But winning the boards, you know, we will probably win this game. Another thing we need to do is active hands on defense. The Suns are also ranked 29th in turnovers. So getting disruptive in the passing lanes will be huge for us. The new guy, Landry Shamet, shout out, God, he's so good. Has great length to use on the second unit and possibly first. We're going to ask Doc maybe tonight if at any point Landry's going to be ushered into the first unit. Patrick Beverley has been great, been playing great lately too. So him shutting down Bricker will be huge for us. I'm hoping we can get them at like the 15-plus turnover mark. We're usually the team that is getting, you know, shellacked, I should say, in the turnover battle. So tonight seems like a game where the defense could kind of get its head right and get disruptive with those passing lanes, especially with guys out. You know, they're going to have some interesting rotations with D'Anthony Melton's out, TJ Warren's out. So this is going to be some, not uncomfortable because they all practice together and stuff like that, but a little maybe awkward for these guys in terms of where their teammates are going to be and stuff like that. And they're already, you know, like I mentioned, 29th in turnovers. So it's going to be, I want to see Shea. He's been a steal machine, kind of when he wants to. He has those games where he puts up like four steals or something like that. He's going to be big. I just really want to see our length being used well. We have a lot of it now, so we might as well use it. Another thing we need to do to win, which I feel like we could maybe say every single game, is no bathroom break. This will kind of bleed into the next section, which is what could go wrong. But apparently, no matter who is on this team, we don't take the third quarter very seriously. It happened against Minnesota. We spotted them 20 points, almost came back. This team has, you know, kind of scarred us before and, you know, forced ourselves to play catch-up. So taking it easy in a close game right after half will put us in a rough spot, especially against a team like the Suns, who are young and kind of feed off vibes and energy and stuff like that. They're younger than we are. They've had more rest. We're still, I'm sure, feeling some hangover from the insane travel schedule we had. So we just got to keep on the gas on all four quarters. If we're going to take a break, I hope it's the last 3 minutes and we're up by 30 points. Let me know what else you guys think we need to do to win. You know, it's a theoretically a quote-unquote easier opponent than usual. So we just got to do what we do best, you know. We got to shoot efficiently from the three-point line. We have to get to the free throw line, and we got to try and take care of the ball and at least limit some fast break points from these other guys. So getting into what could go wrong, this is our second game in a row of playing an athletic, seemingly do-it-all center, minus a three-point shot. DeAndre Ayton is having an absolutely fantastic year. I also would like to say I deserve to eat crow on how I thought DeAndre Ayton would do as a rookie. I was very wrong. He's been playing really great. I think without Luka, he'd probably be the rookie of the year. He's just been phenomenal. I was wrong about his, you know, offense translating to the NBA game. He seems to welcome the physicalness, other than when he's going against Boban, which I'll get into in a sec. But if Ayton catches Zubac on a bad day, he could dominate him, and that would spell trouble for, you know, the whole team. If he's playing well and their shooters are hitting shots, which they don't have too many shooters, I guess if Devin Booker's hitting his shots, we could be in a real kind of, you know, fight back mode, which does seem to be our default mode. This team does seem to love giving its fans heart attacks and spotting teams large leads only to, you know, eat those leads back up and put them on their ears. But I don't want to see that tonight. I think everyone wants to see us, you know, be able to shut down this athletic center. Zubac will have a bounce back game, I'm hoping. Another thing that could get us is their length. Our ball movement tends to get a little, I guess zany might be the wrong word. I don't know. Odd when teams are lanky. And the Suns are definitely that. They're not the most defensive-minded team. They rank pretty high in steals. But we tend to play down to teams that could be considered, quote-unquote, below us. And one of the big ways that happens is through turnovers. I want to see us take care of the ball. I mentioned in the last piece how I wish they had 15 turnovers. I hope we have less than 10. If we have less than 10 turnovers, I count that as success. We do have new guys who are kind of learning to play, and that can add to some loose passes. Lou Williams especially has had kind of an iffy couple of games handling the ball. So I'm hoping he's going to be locked in and we don't spot these guys too many free points. Last point for what could go wrong. The starters, our starters, I should say, the Clipper starters continue to underwhelm and the bench can't win the non-Ayton or Booker minutes. This won't be as big of an issue, I think, with Melton and TJ Warren out because they're going to be short a couple of guys. But our starters tend to get beat most games. They got beat against the Timberwolves pretty handedly. I hope we just don't come out sleeping on these guys. Having the bench just to keep the lead as opposed to extend or manufacture one would be awesome to see. It'd be kind of a refreshing, I think, sight for a lot of Clippers fans. It's just bringing, you know, Trez and Lou in to just keep it out of reach for the Suns. I don't want to have to force them to develop some kind of strategy to get us back in this game against this lowly Phoenix Suns team. That would not be fun. So hopefully our starters can break out of this funk that they are in and really just kind of dominate the first five for the Suns. Some key matchups. I mentioned it a little bit earlier, but Zubac versus Ayton. This is probably the second most important game or important matchup in this game, excuse me. The last time the Lakers and Suns played when Zubac was on the team, DeAndre Ayton was out. And then the time before that, Zubac only played 3 minutes. So these guys have not seen pretty much any of each other. We'll need Zubac to kind of body up Ayton early and get him off his rhythm. In the Clippers and Suns first matchup, when we had Boban, Ayton was really flummoxed by his size. Now, obviously, Zubac isn't as large as Boban, but when things get a little physical, it is possible to kind of rattle Ayton and just put him off his game. So I'm hoping Zubac has some fire in his belly for this one. He's throwing his weight around down there, and he just kind of makes it difficult for Ayton to do what he does. That is hard because Ayton is fantastic offensively. He does grab boards, but I just want to see someone kind of get in his way and bother him. If Zubac can't do it, I'm hoping Trez can. Or, you know, we could see some meatball lineup, which, if you're new to the podcast, the meatball lineup is anytime Danilo Gallinari is playing the five. We love the meatball lineup. We want to see more of it. But hopefully Zubac can get it done versus Ayton tonight. I mentioned that that is the second most important matchup. The first most important, what horrible wording on my part, is going to be Patrick Beverley versus Devin Booker. I am so excited to see this matchup tonight. It's going to be awesome. Given how much of their offense goes through Booker, this, I think the game kind of relies on this matchup right here. If Beverley can shut down Booker effectively, I'm not going to be as mad if he can't contribute by, you know, a lot on offense. If he's doing an effective enough job on Booker and he's frustrating him, he gets him into foul trouble, or he just gets him off his game and he's not looking good, I'm kind of okay if Beverley doesn't, quote unquote, you know, show up in the points category. I still want to see those boards there, but Beverley just absolutely shutting down Devin Booker will be huge. If we hold Devin Booker, I don't know, to under 20, it feels like we most likely win this game in every scenario where that happens. Last matchup, oops, sorry, second to last matchup is Clippers versus the Tank. I mentioned the Suns have lost 14 in a row. Are they in full tank mode now? It seems like they should be. Knowing how teams play against the Clippers, we could maybe see an insane effort from these guys to just ruin our game at the Staples Center. But if the Suns are smart, they continue to drop games. I really hope we don't beat ourselves during this one. You never want to, you know, out-tank the Tank. And we're in one of those teams where if we end up losing, it's not the worst thing because we'll get to keep our draft pick. But still, at this rate, I think, you know, fans see that we can still make the playoffs. It'd be nice to bury these guys. Final one, starters versus themselves. We have a justified narrative that the starters are not good against other starters, which is fairly, you know, it sucks, but it's kind of true. The only way for us to buck this narrative is to get on track against teams that are, how can I say this diplomatically, possible to get on track against. After this game, we play the Grizzlies and the Nuggets. So getting into a good flow tonight is kind of a good way to ramp up to that Nuggets game. I feel like Suns, Grizzlies, Nuggets is like a nice natural progression of terms of, you know, a struggling team, a team that's still dangerous but not maybe doing as hot, and then, you know, a really, really good regular season team right now. So if we can, you know, if the starters can get some rest time because we're up so much because of the work they've done, I think that's going to go a long way to these next couple games. I think these next So out of Suns, Grizzlies, Nuggets, we can win 2 out of 3 easily. I don't think 3 out of 3 games is crazy. The Nuggets just are playing really well right now. So I just want to see the starters get on track against the Suns this game. The game is tonight at 7:30 at the Staples Center. Clippers-Suns. My prediction for this game, I'm going kind of big. I'm going 125-109 Clippers. I want to see a huge game. I didn't talk about Landry. I want to see him firing. I'm so excited. I just can't wait to see this year a little more Landry, Jerome, and Gallo lineups. I wonder how many threes those guys could put up. Anyway, let me know your predictions for this game at Locked On Clips. Coming up after this quick break, we're going to be doing What Could Have Been Wednesdays, taking a peek at the Arlo universe. But first, make sure to follow Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram. You'll get all the Locked On Podcast Network local hosts in one feed, which is awesome. It's great during games like tonight when your hosts have press credentials. And on Instagram, you get the bigger stories in just 1 minute thanks to that stories feed. So check out Locked On Net on both Twitter and Instagram. Welcome to the Arlo universe. This is our Wednesday segment where we take a look at what could have been, you know, had things just gone a little differently. We got a couple ones today. It's kind of quick fire. This is just a fun one. What could have been had we kept Michael Beasley? I think we would have gone undefeated. No. I guess I was kind of surprised when we waived Michael Beasley. He would have been a fun addition to this team. I don't think he necessarily would have gelled with Doc. It would have been funny to see them interact. We would have definitely led the league in watches worn on ankles. Look up that clip if you're unfamiliar with that. A bit of a more serious one. What could have been had AB not gotten hurt and Shea doesn't get the early starting chance that he got? So this was a pretty big domino. I think this was the biggest domino of the season to fall. Shea got a chance to prove himself, and he absolutely did. He never relinquished the starting spot. You know, it seems like maybe if Shea didn't get that chance with Doc's reputation with rookies, he maybe could have been involved in some trade rumors. I don't think Avery Bradley gets traded if he doesn't get hurt. I think that would have really sucked for a lot of fans. Although he did have a fantastic game the other night. I think he had 31 points or something like that. But I think if AB doesn't get hurt, I think we probably stick with that Patrick Beverley AB lineup that wasn't working too well in the beginning. It was going fine, but definitely didn't have an offensive flow in it. But I think Shea maybe gets a little more involved in some rumors and stuff like that. And I definitely think we would be more so in soft tank mode. Right now we're a team that's still saying we're fighting for the playoffs, which I generally think we absolutely are. But it's also, there's a little less pressure to make the playoffs because we have kind of a young squad. We jettisoned arguably our best player in Tobias Harris. And so I think if we kept AB, if AB doesn't get hurt, excuse me, you know, we probably keep Tobias because we're going to try and remain competitive. And I think overall, I think we'd be a lot more bummed with how things were going. I think we'd be happy, but I think we'd get to see those glimpses of Shea that would be great, and we'd just be sad we wouldn't get to see it too much more. The next one and last one, this one doesn't have to do with the Clippers directly, but what could have been had the Lakers actually gotten AD at the deadline? Do you think we would have been more aggressive at the deadline or less aggressive? I think we may be, the way that this front office seems to move is very silently, which I'm all for. And I think, I don't know if the 76ers deal goes through. I think we maybe keep our cards closer to our chests in terms of clandestine moves. It would have been such a big, you know, ripple effect had AD gone to the Lakers because, I mean, A, given how many players the Lakers were willing to give up, I don't know if they could even field a team for the rest of the year. And B, I think it really ramps up. I think it would actually maybe help us as a destination for free agents. Hear me out. I know that sounds insane. Why would anyone want to play multiple times a year in the same city as AD and LeBron? Because you can beat those guys. Head cases like KD, although he is a fantastic player, he definitely has some, I don't know if it's self-esteem or something issues, they want to kind of prove some guys wrong. And I think if we have this young core and other guys who are maybe getting tired of the Lakers and how they were doing things, saw them get AD and LeBron, they would say, all right, let's go to the other team in L.A. Let's go to the best basketball team in L.A., the Clippers, and prove these guys wrong. Show them why they shouldn't have gone to the Lakers. But I think in free agency, we maybe perhaps would have been less aggressive in our approach. We got rid of so many guys. We brought in so many new young guys with picks. I think we would have maybe tanked a little harder this year. maybe not outright saying we're tanking, but, you know, more rhetoric like, we're trying to put a competitive basketball team out there, or we're really looking forward to the draft. Things like that that could have been had the Lakers gotten AD. Here's one just off the top of my head. What if we would have gotten AD? I think at the trade deadline, we probably would have had to give up 4 years of first-round picks, probably Shea and Jerome, probably Trez, probably Tobias, some ungodly number. I think if we got AD, we'd probably be worse off right now. It'd be fun to watch for a little bit, but most of our young core would be gone, and the fan favorites, one of either Lou or Trez, would be out of there. So, I'm thankful we didn't get AD. I don't think he's going to come to the Clippers anyway. I think the Pelicans are maybe going to try and screw him over and wait a year so he has to play with an older version of LeBron, but that remains to be seen. Everything I've said so far in these Arela Universe situations has been worse than what has happened, so that's good. I must have some negative vibes in my brain today. Let me know if you guys have any ideas for what could have been Wednesday. I'm going to be honest, these are fairly hard to come up with every week. We ran through a lot of really good ones early in the season. We might bring a couple back. Who knows? But again, get at me at Locked On Clips if you have any ideas. Coming after this, just some general Clips talk. So it's been about a week with the new guys on the team. How are you guys feeling about the team? I can't believe how well everyone has fit together. The obviously star of free agency has been Landry Shamet. It feels like he's been with us for years. It's crazy watching. We run the same plays we run for him as we did for J.J. Redick, which makes total sense if you look at their games. He's basically younger, maybe lankier, better ball handling Redick. I'd give him an A so far for being on the team. I mean, his first game, he was absolutely crucial. We came back from 28 against the G-Dang Celtics in the Garden. I can't believe what that guy did. He's been fantastic to watch. Zubac had a bit of a rough go of it last time, but having a legit 7-footer has already kind of made our team's paint presence look a little bit better. He also, you know, he said it feels good to be wanted. I'm so happy that the Clippers are becoming this destination where people know they're wanted, and it's a genuine want. And even when we split, it's a bit of an amicable split. I don't think we did Blake wrong. I don't think we did Tobias wrong. When guys leave, it seems to be, other than, you know, DeAndre Jordan, on good terms, which has been great. Jermichael Green, seen some limited action, but has shown that he's there to hustle. He's there to play hustle minutes, which we love. We need, you know, we have Trez, which is great, but even Trez needs a break sometimes from doing all of the little things that Trez does so well. I'm hoping to see him get some more time. And of course, we do have the injury, which has been pretty frustrating with Wilson Chandler. I'm excited to see him get some time when he does. I hope he's not going to the same doctor as Luka Mbamute, however, because he does not exist on a basketball court anymore. It's very odd. Another interesting thing, a lot of people on Twitter have been talking about how Patrick Beverley needs to be re-signed and how we should re-sign Patrick Beverley. I was kind of against re-signing Patrick Beverley, but his play as of late has been crucial to how we've kind of kept our level of play up so far. He's an undrafted free agent after this season. His last contract was for 4 years, $23 million, and he'll be 23 in June. So my question is, would you guys want to re-sign Patrick Beverley? Get at me again on Twitter. I'm all for it. I think giving him a deal, he's going to be 31 in June. I think giving him a deal at like 2 for $12, maybe overpay a little just to keep him around, I'm not mad at that idea. We have a ton of cap space. We might have even more depending on what happens with Gallo and stuff like that. So why not overpay a little bit for a guy who, you know, intensity never leaves in terms of when players get older. He's always going to be intense. He's a smart player, which I think people don't give him credit for. And he's a culture guy. You know, he was at that first playbook meeting they had. He's kind of a team ambassador for young dudes. I think it'd be nice to have him for 2 more years. He'd be, what, 33, 34? I'm not really sure how the birthdays line up. But 2 for $12 I'd be happy with, especially if he's going to help out young guys. And if we get a draft pick this year in the lottery, I'm just someone who always wants more veteran presence. And I really can't think of two better vets to have on a team than Lou Williams and Patrick Beverley. Two guys who can give you insight on both sides of the ball at an elite level for young guys. Kind of going off that, I'm so psyched to see Shamet learn some stuff from Lou. That's going to be great. But yeah, Patrick Beverley, I'm all for re-signing him. I think he's been a key piece this year. His outside shooting has been phenomenal, if not a little bit unexpected, but we'll take it. But yeah, guys, that about does it for me with the general Eclipse talk and the podcast in general. Thank you for tuning in to the solo hosting week. Will and I will both be back tomorrow with a recap of the hopeful victory against the Suns. It is Thursday tomorrow, so we'll be doing Thirsty Thursdays, just what we want to see more of. And then some general NBA talk, maybe some Clippers stuff, or obviously some Clippers stuff, maybe some Lakers stuff if they keep losing to teams like the Hawks, who knows. Thanks so much for listening, you guys. Please rate and subscribe us, review us on iTunes. We really appreciate it. Follow us on Twitter @LockedOnClips. And yeah, we'll see you tomorrow. Have a good one, y'all.